This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Cavs, terrific. Two games since we left the radio on Friday. A demolition of the New York Knicks, who also struggled mightily. I know they forged a comeback yesterday against the Boston Celtics. It looks like the Eastern Conference is a two-team race at this point, which is a good spot to be in on February 24th. Now it's just about staying healthy and continuing on because the Cavaliers have been absolutely scintillating. Meanwhile, if you're looking for just a little sliver of Browns news here and there, it's actually going to be a big Browns week because they are at the Combine in Indy. You're going to hear from Andrew Berry, Kevin Stefanski. What, tomorrow, Daryl, are they
Tuesday
scheduled to talk? Oh, Tuesday and Wednesday. So that'll happen during Baskin and Phelps?
I think so, probably, yeah.
Both of those days. So we'll have some new audio, which it'll be very interesting to get a chance to hear from Andrew Berry to see if there's been any movement, any developments in the Myles Garrett situation.
He's not going to say anything.
Well, I imagine the media on site will, in myriad ways, try to get creative in asking those questions. Because now, have we heard from Kevin Stefanski yet about the Myles situation?
We're going to hear from him as well.
Right, so you're just going to... You're going to have, at the very least, a baseline of the messaging coming from the Browns.
We're
all
not
coordinated.
Trading him. That's what the message is going to be. We're not trading him.
Yes, that is what I would expect to hear from them. And then just how steadfast are they going to be? And then how does Stefanski deal with all the questions about, is it a distraction? You know, what are you doing with the defense now when it comes to the draft? Are you anticipating that there might be a pretty big hole at pass rusher?
No, those aren't even the questions that I would ask. What's it say about where you guys are at as a franchise and an organization that the best player doesn't want to be here anymore? Mm-hmm. How embarrassed are you by that? It's bad enough you went from 11-6 to 3-14, but... The future Hall of Famer on the roster doesn't want to be here anymore. He doesn't believe in you. Hey, Kevin Stefanski, how does it make you feel that Myles Garrett doesn't believe in you anymore? Hey, Andrew Berry, how does it make you feel that Myles Garrett doesn't think you know what the hell you're doing? How does that make you feel? What do you have to say about that? Why don't you know what you're doing? Why did the team go 3-14?
Are you
going
to be allowed to ask this many successive questions, Derek?
No. You're lucky if you get one in.
Well, that's the thing. That's why.
But that's the tone of the questions I would ask. I'm not worried about what could the defense look like without him. We'll get to that bridge, or cross that bridge, I should say, when you get there. Mm-hmm. Not even there. It's your best player does not believe in you, does not believe in your plan. Does not believe in your organization, that you know what you're doing, that you can not only put him in a position to succeed, that you can put the franchise in a position to succeed. That's what Myles Garrett said. These people don't know what they're doing, and I'm not wasting my career here anymore.
Well, that's,
to me, that is the most damning thing to happen to the Cleveland Browns in a very, very long time. When you have a guy say, I'm out of here. I want nothing to do with whatever's going to happen here going forward. Because it ain't happening. I have no chance to win anything here. So he told the fans.
Yeah, it sounds to you.
Your dreams of going to the Super Bowl, not happening.
Well, it sounds
to you, not with these guys,
Darryl,
not with this roster.
Like you think it's irreparable.
Oh, from Miles' standpoint? Yeah. When you put in your letter that the goal was never to go from Cleveland to Canton, which is a direct shot at the guy that said it. Yeah. Miles has checked out. He's done. Now, the Browns are under absolutely no obligation to trade him. I can make a case for them keeping Miles and forcing him to play out the remainder of his contract. But I also can make a case because the roster is not nearly as good as the Browns want everyone to believe it is, that it might be in their best interest to trade Myles Garrett from an asset acquisition standpoint, but from a salary cap standpoint, it might not be the most practical thing you want to do. You might have to wait until after June 1st to do it.
I've assumed all along it would absolutely have to be after June.
I mean, you can't take a $36 million salary cap hit right now. And sorry, Denzel Ward, you're kind of stuck here. Like, you know, if they trade Miles, you're stuck because they can't move you. And you can thank Deshaun Watson for that.
It's been a lot of thanking Deshaun Watson for the situation that the Browns are in right now.
Well, I think the Browns can thank Deshaun Watson for Miles Garrett not wanting to be here either.
Yeah, but you do know. And, like, this is what's funny about this whole thing. When we go back and we go through the autopsy on how we got here, like, Miles Garrett seemed pretty damn excited when
in the moment
Baker was out and, you know, it was just like that. Remember, you couldn't find, there were some guys on his team, you couldn't find a lot of positive things to say about Baker on the way out the door. And then when they got to Deshaun Watson, I think Miles Garrett was thinking like me, hey, you're getting a top five quarterback and like the Browns and like a third of the league that tried to get to Deshaun Watson. So, you know, I would love to get some truth out of Miles Garrett on that. Like, you seem to be pretty excited about Deshaun Watson at the time.
Well, I think Miles has buyer's remorse, even though he's not the one that actually did the buying, but same principle applies.
Yeah, for sure.
At the time, sounded like a great plan. In practicality, yeah, not so much.
All right, so while they're still hammering out the Miles Garrett situation and answering questions in Indy on that, the Browns were also going to be focusing on what these young rookie quarterbacks might be doing, at least the prospects might be doing at the combine. And then we got word yesterday that Shedeur Sanders plans to focus on his interviews with the teams at the NFL Scouting Combine, helping them continue to learn about who he is as a person. However, he will not be throwing in Indy. Now, Caleb Williams did not throw last year. We've had a mixed bag over the last few years. I think C.J. Stroud did throw. Richardson did throw. But remember, Joe Burrow did not throw. There's plenty of QBs that opted out over the years and decided not to throw.
If you want to know how Shedeur Sanders throws a football, I got three words for you. Watch the tape. Why do you need to see him throw at the combine in his underwear when there's no defense on the field?
I think it's just another, I don't even think you'd call it a data point, but, you know,
it's a very weak data point.
Right. It's probably the weakest, to be honest.
You want to know who's the most upset that Shedeur Sanders is not throwing at the NFL combine?
Who's that?
The NFL Network.
Have we heard?
Eyeballs.
Yeah. Well, have we heard about Cam Ward yet?
I don't think so.
Are you expecting him to throw? Probably not.
I don't even care. I'm dead serious. I don't care if these guys throw at the combine. Because here's the thing, it's all about the hype machine. I think these guys are overrated and overhyped as it is, and I don't think that the data point, as you put it accurately, is compelling enough to worry about whether or not they're throwing at the combine. I don't think that should move the needle one iota. Again, they're in their underwear. There's no defense on the field. Okay, can you throw an accurate football where there's no one defending to the wide receivers, right? Well, I don't know. I would rather just watch game film on that than worry about. So for me, and I'm just being honest, being transparent here, like, the people that are really upset that quarterbacks don't throw or players don't participate in drills or whatever, and they focus on just their interviews, because really, that's what the combine's about. It's about gathering medical information, getting in front of guys for the first, and in some cases, because, you know, Senior Bowl and other bowls or whatnot that these guys participate in, it's the first or second time teams get in front of these guys. It's all about confirming what you've learned about them. It's about confirming or maybe trying to dig a little deeper on a guy's personality, what makes him tick, right? Can you recite a playbook? Can I teach you a play and you recite it within a 15-minute period type thing? Like, that's really what the combine's for. As far as, like, the on-field testing, as they call it, 40-yard dashes, throwing, you know, the shuttle drill, all the stuff that they do, that's all for the eyeballs on television. It's to create an entertainment spectacle for fans. I don't buy into the quote-unquote substance. Yeah, people care about the 40 time. They run 40s at the pro days, too. Like, the real meat and potatoes of that combine is getting the guys in the hotel room, sitting down with them, talking to them, confirming the medical information, and confirming things that you've already found out about them, both as players and people.
All right, I want to hear from the fans on this, 216-474-0092, because I think fans are looking for reasons to fall in love with Shedeur Sanders. And, you know, Cam Ward, you know, we'll throw him in there as well, but Cam Ward, you know, I still think he's going number one.
I do, too.
Despite what occasional pundits have said, or a few of them have said, I still think he's going to be off the board when you're selecting it, too. So I think this is all about Shedeur Sanders.
Unless the Browns can do such a great job pumping up the Shedeur Sanders stock that somebody makes a deal with Tennessee to go get him.
Yeah, first, we'll see. Overall. But I am curious from the fan perspective. Like, fans need to talk. Right now, it sounds to me, when we talk to fans, when we hear from them, when they call in, when they tweet at the show, it does seem like fans need to be talked into Shedeur Sanders. And so when Sanders says, I'm not going to do the stuff that you can see at the combine if you're watching, I think it's almost another strike against him.
I don't think so.
I think me and you are on the same page. Like, we've just been through this year after year. You've been at the combine a number of times, and you know that the stock in that stuff has dwindled almost to the point where the teams expect these guys not to. Here's what I wonder. If I was the Browns, could you have told Shedeur, like, hey, we have the number 2 pick in the draft. Go throw it to combine. Like, I would love to know if teams could ever ask the player, yeah, let's see. We'd like to see you in a competitive, as competitive as it could be, but we'd like to see another data point.
You want to know when he can throw? Top 30 visit when he comes to Berea. Mm-hmm.
Sure.
That's when. But again, if your needle as a front office gets moved because a guy does or not, or throws or doesn't throw at the combine in your quest for a franchise quarterback, you probably should fire your scouting department because you're doing it wrong.
Yeah, but wouldn't, I'm just playing devil's advocate here, wouldn't you like to see how a guy competes every minute of the day? And so if you throw another challenge at him, like, hey, we can all watch him. It can be unnerving. Like, you say, all right, there's no defense. They're throwing to their buddies or their teammates, which they do at a pro day.
Right.
In this case, who are the guys they throw to?
It'd be the receivers in the draft class. Yeah.
Yeah. So I just would think, as an organizational member, a member of the scouting department, like, hey, cool, we get to see another thing.
You think 32 head coaches and 32 GMs is more pressure to throw in front of than, I don't know, 100,000 fans?
Different kinds, right? Like, you don't want to go out there and just totally miss. Like, totally, you start throwing errant passes, you're sweating a little bit, the cameras are on you. You can maybe even hear, like, Rich Eisen and those guys go, whoa, what was that? Like, just there's always just a little bit of pressure baked in, right?
A little, but I can't I kind of feel bad. I can't get worked up over Sugar not throwing at the combine.
Well, I'll be honest. I wasn't worked up either.
I can't. Because the Browns are going to get him in the field house, and they're going to get to do that. They're going to be able to.
Which is another controlled environment,
right,
by the way.
And they're going to get to sit him down in Berea and go through film with him, go through plays with him. They're going to just get to talk to him, get to know what makes him tick, see how involved Daddy is in things. So I'm really not all that bothered by this.
All right, Daryl doesn't seem to care about it. I'll be honest, I'm kind of playing devil's advocate here.
I was going to say, you seem to be fighting to care over there.
Might have another quarterback's name to throw around. Boy, we threw a bunch of them around on Friday, and it was met with a lot of eh. That's it. A lot of meh. A lot of ugh. That was Friday. Maybe we can interest you in somebody else who has certainly had some success.
What the best of the worst that the NFL has to offer does not interest folks? Call me shocked.
I think this name will be a little different.
Okay.
We'll get to that here later in the segment. We have Chris Fedor coming up at 9 o'clock. Darryl Ryder is in for Ken Carbon today. And combine stuff, you know, I look back like last year. Drake May did not throw. Jaden Daniels did not throw. Caleb Williams did not throw. And so I think this was kind of assumed that Shedeur Sanders wasn't going to throw. The issue here, maybe a little bit different, is that, you know, Shedeur Sanders is someone who has definitely heard, like, hey, if he would have been available last year, he would be getting drafted right around or behind Bo Nix. He might be a second rounder.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you've heard a little bit of that with Cam Ward as well.
These guys, if they were in last year's class, Anthony.
Oh, that's right. It was Daryl saying all of that.
No, the consensus from the folks that really track this stuff and scout college football players is they'd be the 6th, 7th, 8th best quarterbacks in last year's class.
Yeah.
And we're talking about them as being the number 1 and number 2 overall pick in this year's draft. That's pure insanity to me.
Insanity?
Yes.
Well, haven't you heard for the last year that...
That's a significant talent disparity, Lima.
Right, but I've heard that across the board with this draft, not just the quarterbacks.
Fair.
So that, to me, that makes it hard, too, because, you know, from really all year, I had been hearing them talk about, you know, a lot of these positions, that this would be the same case. What you just said about the quarterbacks would be the case. And I know, like, recently, over the last 3 weeks, people have started to talk like Abdul Carter is a generational talent. That is not what people were saying earlier in the year.
I
think that might just
is.
Be, again, because of this draft. I think we are starting to talk ourselves into all these other guys, especially if you're anti-quarterback, you're going to talk up Abdul Carter like he's Myles Garrett. And the tape does not show that. There's nobody that can...
And he's certainly not built like Miles.
No, not even close. That doesn't mean he's going to be a flop or anything like that. There are guys at Abdul Carter's size that have had tremendous success in the NFL. But somehow Abdul Carter became this can't-miss prospect. And I think that has more to do with people not buying into the quarterbacks than it does people buying into Abdul Carter.
Oh, wait a minute. Other people aren't buying into the quarterbacks, not just me?
Well, I think it's like people were talking about Jaden Daniels and Drake May last year. People were not sold on them at all. There were a ton of flaws associated with those guys.
I'm shocked that I'm, because I don't know.
Are you taking it personally, Daryl, that you're getting attacked?
Every time I go on a show, I'm getting bullied in. Yeah, they need a quarterback. You have to take a quarterback. How can you pass on these guys? I'm like, pretty easy, because they're not nearly as good as what they're supposed to be the first or second pick in the draft. Now, you want to talk about them being available at 33 or at the back end of the first round and you trade back in to get that fifth year of control? Fine, I'll listen to that argument. But I'm all about if... You know, you don't want to stay at 2 and you can sucker someone into coming up and getting Shedeur. I'll take an extra first round pick for 2026 and I'll worry about drafting the quarterback in next year's class, because I think that crop is going to be better than this year's.
But that's just Daryl Ryder, the guy looking at talent right now, right?
Those are my four eyes. That's what my four eyes are telling me.
What if Daryl Ryder was the guy whose back's against the wall and maybe only has one more year because he's the GM who's had... a few missteps.
Good point.
I would say that when you make impulsive decisions or decisions based on being painted into a corner, that's how you ended up with Deshaun Watson.
Well, now you got to get out of the corner. Your arms are flailing. You got to get out of the corner somehow. you're telling me that taking any position player is better than taking a quarterback in the draft?
I would say that these quarterbacks, based on what I have heard and things that I have read, again, by the folks that really do the deep dive scouting, because I'll admit I don't do deep dive scouting on, these college prospects going into the combine.
Well, then you can't be the GM if you're not going to do the
deep dive. Well, I don't want to be the GM. I can't be the GM
but
anyway.
I need you to be the GM right now,
Daryl. You know why? Because I'd be firing and cutting players after games for bad performances. Like,
I need you to be the GM right now, though.
Well, remember, if you need me to be the GM right now, Owen, I am looking at this roster. I am recognizing that it's not nearly as good as I thought it was after the 2023 regular season, that they are closer to being a 3-win roster than an 11-win roster, and I am using my draft picks to fill the holes, the many holes, I should say, that are on this roster. Offensive line, defensive line, running back, linebacker, because I don't know about JOK. You need safety help. Definitely need safety help. You need a cornerback depth. So there are plenty of positions that can be filled with not just the number two pick, but 33 and these other top 100 picks they have. I think that you can punt this year or take your medicine when it comes to the quarterbacks. Just find someone to get you through this. Yes, you're still trying.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
True crime fans will love Crime House True Crime Stories, a Crime House original podcast. Every Monday, you'll experience the most notorious true crime cases from that week in history, all linked by a common theme. From serial killers to disappearances to unsolved murders and so much more. Follow and listen to Crime House True Crime Stories, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios. Available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Trying to win. You're not trying to tank. Find the best of the worst that's available in the old dumpster here. But next year, set yourself up so that you don't have to lose your way into a top two pick. You can have enough assets where you can trade your way into a top two pick to get one of the better quarterbacks. Again, I am banking, and it's a gamble, and I understand what you're saying, Owen. It's a gamble, but I'm banking on next year's class at quarterback being much better than this year's class.
That's a long time to wait.
A
lot can happen in a year, Daryl.
It's been 26 years. What's another? What's another year?
I just know that, okay, you're not alone in saying that. That has been a well-heralded class. People have been talking about it for a long period of time. But to wait another entire year.
Well, if you're going to say the quarterback's name that I think you might say, and I don't want to spoil it, but if that's the route they go, first of all, that'd be congratulations on Andrew Berry for being Houdini and pulling that off and fitting it in within the salary cap. Then buy your time, or I should say buy yourself some time with that move.
All right. We will get to that. Troy is on the road. Go ahead, Troy.
Morning, fellas. How are you guys?
Hey.
I just want to ask Daryl, I think it's time to change your name to the conservative Daryl Ryder, not the dangerous Daryl Ryder.
Because I want to make sure the Browns are spending a number two pick on a really, really great franchise-changing player. I apologize for not seeing great franchise-changing players in Cam Ward or Shedeur Sanders. That's my bad.
Well, Abdul Carter isn't going to make the Browns good. They're going to be bad. So what's the difference of them being bad without a quarterback or taking a risk and possibly having a better chance of being good with a quarterback?
Daryl?
Well, again, as
Darryl,
I said,
are you a big believer in Abdul Carter? Thank you, Troy. Appreciate you taking it to the dangerous one.
I don't know that I am a big believer in him. I think that if you're going to lose Myles Garrett, which you very may
like a replacement,
you can replace him. And I get
the logic there.
I don't necessarily think that Abdul Carter is Myles Garrett 2.0. He certainly isn't built like him. And I have some concerns about that. But I just feel with the number two pick, you can't afford to gamble with that. Because, again, you're not expecting to be there ever again, right? That's what you've... I'm sure we're going to hear Andrew Berry say that at some point mm-hmm. this week here. We don't expect to be here again. We're not going to be picking second again in the draft because, you know, our season was such a titanic disaster. But... yeah, you do have to. It's not about being conservative. It's about being smart and not allowing emotion and need to trump logic for me. So if that makes me less dangerous, well, so be it.
Let's go to Ray in Euclid. Welcome to the show, Ray.
Hey, good morning, guys. I totally disagree with Darryl. Listen, we have to shoot. Even if this fails, there's no guarantee next year we draft in the top 7-8 picks and get a good quarterback next year. You think anybody wants to play at this dumpster fire? You think a Manning's is going to want to come here and play? Do you think that the Rams wants to come here and play? Nobody wants to come here and play. Your best player wants out. Your quarterback wants out if your defensive end gets out. Why would anybody want to come here? So why would you think, Darryl, that next year one of these top-flight quarterbacks is going to want to come here?
Well, it's not about them wanting to come here. They're going to have to. They get drafted. They don't get to choose.
They don't have to. Do you know the Mannings? The Mannings played this game. Eli played this game with the Chargers, and he went to the Giants.
Well, Shedeur Sanders doesn't seem to have an objection about coming to play for the Browns.
Well, we don't know that yet. We absolutely possibly don't know that yet.
He plays him in Madden. What other proof do you need?
Well, here's the thing. If Miles leaves, if they get rid of Miles, then he might not want to come here. So you don't know, Darryl. We can't wait another year. I'm 60 years old. I can't wait another year.
Ray's at death's door. You can hear him.
Yeah.
Thank you, Ray. Appreciate it.
Good luck, Ray.
I feel bad. He's going to be a goner the way he's talking.
I'm going from being bullied into one of these quarterbacks. Now Ray's trying to guilt me into one of them.
If they don't take a quarterback, Ray could die, Darryl. Yeah. Do you want that on your
Darryl,
head?
Let me ask you. I don't know
Actually,
when the last time.
Actually, you know what? I can live with that.
Darryl's gotten for a year. Darryl's gotten a clean bill of health, so maybe he's a bad example. But let's just say, let's get into hypothetical. We're in sports talk radio.
Right.
You get a bad diagnosis. Okay, let's say you go to the dermatologist, they spot something, and they're like, oh my God, you got like a year. Okay, if you have 1 year to go, does it change your mind? Would you want him to draft a quarterback? Hold that thought.
Let's go, Darryl.
John and Wadsworth, hold that thought. Go ahead, John.
Darryl, I hope you don't have 1 year left, man.
I don't know, you'd be in the minority. I think a lot of people wish I had just 1 year
six
left.
6 months.
I got your back, man. I got your back. So real quick question that I keep thinking about, like, and this is like kind of like a devil's advocate thing. I'm not sure where I stand with the quarterbacks, but the comparison we keep hearing is, well, they'd be the fifth and sixth guys in last year's class,
yeah,
which makes sense. But then I keep thinking, well, could it be a product of the fact that last year's class is just that much head and shoulders above the average quarterback class? Like, I think back to, like...
Well, that's what the Browns need, don't they? They need Jaden Daniels. They need a Patrick Mahomes. They need a Josh Allen. They need Joe Burrow. They need a Lamar Jackson. Like, that's what they need. And if that's not available in this year's class, then why am I wasting the number two pick on that player?
No, and I understand that. I think back to something like the 83 or 84 draft, whichever it was with Elway and Marino and stuff. You know, it's like back then, the following year's draft, were they saying about the top quarterbacks, like, oh, they're not as good as last year's? Well, the previous year's like four Hall of Famers. So I just wonder if maybe the comparison is a little off because maybe last year's class was just so much stronger than an average quarterback class. Just food for thought.
No, I mean, I think that's a fair argument to make. But I have reservations, and I don't like taking players that I have reservations about. I'm sorry. Look, Shedeur Sanders could be a future Hall of Famer for all we know. Same thing for Cam Ward. I don't know. Lima don't know. I know Andrew Berry certainly doesn't know. You're taking a leap of faith. And when you have guys that have some holes in their game, because Cam Ward's not a polished, finished product, neither is Shedeur Sanders, when you have guys like that, Anthony, I'm going to get a little conservative, especially if my job's on the line. I already blew it with one quarterback.
Yeah, the only thing, Daryl, that I would definitely fight you back on, because I can't even disagree with most of this analysis. Like, yeah, I see what people say about these quarterbacks in relation to other drafts. Well, we're in the 2025 draft. I would fight you on this. This whole element of, well, the safe play, or if you take a quarterback, that gets you fired. I also think they could very easily end up cleaning house if they take Abdul Carter and only win 4 or 5 games. I think everybody's out of a job there too.
Not if they have an honest conversation with ownership about where they're at. If you're sitting there telling ownership, we're going to make the playoffs. Because right now, I got folks in the organization telling me they believe they're a playoff team this coming season. They're going to make the playoffs this year. And I am going to rue the day that I dare said that they were closer to being a 3-win team than an 11-win team, okay? So if you're sitting there telling ownership, that's our expectation this year. We're going to be a playoff team. And then to your point, you end up winning 4, 5, 6, 7 games and you don't make the playoffs, then yeah, I think that does get you fired, because it's, okay, why haven't you met expectations 2 straight years? But if you go into ownership and say, hey, listen, we've got some retooling we need to do here. So let's be honest about where we're really at. Here's our plan to do the retooling and how we are going to execute it. And then you go execute it. I don't think people get fired next year or after next season.
All right. We'll have Daryl with the last word there.
Sometimes you just need a fix.
FML, my life.
My life.
FML,
fix my life.
Kenny, what do we do?
Fixing lives.
My life.
All right, my daughter's 2.5, Daryl. She's spoiled rotten already. And
shocking, daddy's girl.
I think everybody makes this commitment to, like, we're not going to do that. We're going to do everything we can not to do that. And that makes sense on paper. And then you actually experience the raising of this girl.
Uh-huh.
This beautiful little girl who's also a tyrant who gets everything she wants. And it's not going well, because I thought about it over the weekend. She was upset there were no treats in the house. We do some treats.
Oh, that's
a very special treat is what she calls it. But it's not a very special treat if it's there for her every day after dinner and it's used as a way to get her to finish her meals. So Owen's already laughing because he's like, this is so old hat. You have every trick in the
book.
I've
taken sociology courses as well.
You're just basically
about Pavlov.
Yeah. You're just basically bribing your daughter to do what you want her to do.
Right. That's part of it. And we told her, because, you know, the two of us decided we can't keep doing this. So we didn't have the treats in the house. There are no treats in the house. There's no more special treat for a while.
Okay.
And that lasted 2 days. And then the little one takes my phone and goes, buy treats. And we're like, well, we can't do that. We can't do that. That's not how it works. But she sees that's exactly how everything works. Because my wife gets something on Amazon at least 3 to 4 days a week. Oh, something. Yeah. Now it could be diapers. It could be the wipes. There's always something. But my daughter is putting 2 and 2 together at her young age. That stuff just shows up at the door almost whenever you want it. So if that's happening, the standard is if my parents really wanted something, they would just get it. And she knows exactly the way to get it. And I'm holding up my phone because that's exactly how we order everything. And so we feel like we can't get out of this now. We are in a jam. There's nothing we can do. She already knows that we can get anything whenever she wants it. And the difference between when I was young, my parents would just say, no, we don't have the money. Well, she's seen us get all this stuff for her already. So she's not buying our lies when we're like, they're out of them, or we don't have the funds this way. It's been a rough month at the radio station. I've had to try to use that one, and it just doesn't register for her.
You can't correlate the Browns problems to the reasons that you don't have treats right now?
I've told you guys before that, listen, on the radio, we do better when the teams do better. They never believe us. But, like, when Jason Lloyd gets to write a book, he doesn't get to write a book on a bad team. It has to be the good team. We all do better in town. Actually, Terry Pluto
gets to capitalize.
He'd like a word.
He gets to capitalize because he wrote a bestseller on an 0-16 team. He's the only one that gets away with that. The rest of us, we all do better when the team does better. My daughter doesn't buy any of this. She's like, you guys can get whatever you need whenever you need it. It really is like Shawshank. We are the people that know how to get things. So how, I should, this isn't for you, Daryl, because you don't have kids.
I am very good at giving advice when it comes to kids.
And Mitch is somebody who gets anything he wants and has his entire life because of his existence, going on amazing, elaborate vacations with his parents. Owen, I defer to you on this one.
Okay.
Owen, is there a way out of this? Because I feel like we're in trouble because it's still very early.
I would like to say no, there's absolutely not a way out of it. You're kind of screwed in this. There is one way out, and it's you're going to have to go through hell to get to it. You've got to break the cycle. You've got to break the pattern. And for you as a dad, and especially because your firstborn is a daughter and that I'm in the same spot there, man, that's a heartbreaker. You might have to go out and get the milk for a while before you can get over the emotional damage that it's going to cause you.
Yeah.
That she's going to cause to you if you don't get her those damn treats.
Well, the temper tantrums, Daryl, the terrible twos.
You were doomed the day this young lady was born. You were doomed.
Now, if Ken were here, he'd tell you, take a box of those treats, throw them out the back door.
Fire them with a gun. Napalm them right in front. Oh, he uses very, very emotional tactics that you only see on the battlefield.
I'm hoping they're happening right now in the line for Small World.
So, he better be adding up what this trip costs. I want one number when he comes back next week.
Much like we did for the Browns in Vegas last year.
What the tally's going to be.
The fact that he drove was insanity enough.
Unbelievable. That trip back, we're just going to be rubbing it in when he is on his way back the entire time.
I think
you're going to be calling him every hour.
Lima, I think that the problem for you right now is technology is your worst enemy as a father. The phones have all made us, the smartphones have made us all dumber, right? I can't remember the last phone. I know my parents' number because that was the phone number.
Yeah, now
growing up,
you know, no
I know
numbers.
Nobody's phone number. I just look it up on my phone, right? It's made us all narcissists, right? Everything has to be done on camera. We got to get our selfies. Okay, we got our selfies. Oh, no, we got to shoot a video. Got to get that on the gram, right? Or TikTok, in this case, for the youngins. But the fact that she is a sponge right now, and she will continue to be, and she sees you or your wife ordering stuff on the phone.
She sees it not that long after come to the door.
Yes. So this when you magical,
especially if you order $25 worth of it,
it comes.
You can get that.
Feel like in 4 hours.
Yeah. I think there's an excuse though that my parents used. I think I'm guessing your parents used. Owen, yours used. They're out. We tried to buy. They're out. Can't buy any right now. Sorry. Right. That's my parents would tell me that all the time when they didn't want to buy me something.
My parents used the tact of it's on layaway. So at least I still felt like, oh, it's coming.
You're getting it. I like
it's
that.
It's going to come one day. It's just we can't get it right now. We got to put it.
Is layaway still the thing?
Yeah, what a term from the past.
But you can at least fake it, right? Now, are you willing to change what she considers a treat? Something you said this was a tool used to get dinner completed and things
like
that.
Yeah, it'd be a little Reese's, whatever it is. If it's a Christmas tree in the winter, it's a bunny, you know, this time of year.
Yeah, maybe you can change that. And then that becomes a once a week thing instead of a once a night thing. Either that or just call Miss Rachel and have her record a song about how you don't need it anymore.
Mine was always no dessert. You don't finish your meal, you don't get dessert. That was the treat. Didn't have to buy anything special. Everyone else around the table's eating cake. No cake for Daryl.
We're too late. We're too deep into it.
I know. We've already abused it. And you know, I think about it this way too. And I talk to Ken all the time because when Ken had his first, he was living in an apartment in basically Tremont. He had no money. You know, if I would have had a kid in Parkersburg when I was making 18.5, working every holiday and weekend, our kid wouldn't have gotten any of this stuff. Now I'm older.
Congratulations to you on all your success.
I don't know how many more brown seasons I have, like that caller before. Like, you're going to spoil your kid. You're just going to spoil your kid more if you're more established in your career.
You know what you're doing? You're doing pacification parenting.
Whoa.
That's what you're doing.
What is this?
You're trying to pacify your kid. To get them to do what you want to do. Try, you know, same thing with like the crying and all that kind of stuff.
So you're saying dig in.
Dig in.
And
hold your ground.
No special treats. And then let me tell you this. What has happened in the past? I got this on Friday when I was leaving the house. She looked me in the eyes and goes, "But who's going to play with me?" And it was the saddest thing of all time. Now, it should have been very easy just to, "Oh, this is stupid. I'll see you tomorrow. Like, what's the big deal? You're going to bed. What's the deal?" But I'm telling you, man, I melted.
Yeah.
I melted. This is me. When I first started doing this show, I had no
exactly
emotions.
This is exactly how I thought it was going to go for you, by
is
the way.
Is it really?
Yes, it is.
There
was no one more thrilled that you had a baby girl than me.
There's a Bay Village Men's Club. There's not a Bay Village 2-year-old Girls Club that you can just get her out the door to maybe distract her from not getting.
Grandma and grandpa's.
Well, it's what everybody does. They put on Miss Rachel, and then your kids are in a trance. And I guess they're learning. She does learn with Miss Rachel, but the trance, I can't stand it. You can wave your hand in front of them when they're watching that. It calms them. It does exactly what you want it to do to them. But I feel like in the end, it's not good for them at all.
You are so up the creek without a paddle right now. It's glorious.
Is this making you interested, Daryl?
Oh,
finding that special someone?
I have never been more happy to not have children than I am right now.
I felt like you were close. I felt like you were coming around.
I am. You know what? I make fun of you, but I'd be doing the exact same thing you're doing if it were me.
Well, don't worry. You'll lose them all. I've got 2 going to college next year. And
that's the thing. These special treats are adding up. There's going to be no college.
Well, that's what you have to tell her.
Oh, yeah.
Mine is a terrible thing to waste, especially in special treats.
And college will be like 80 grand a year.
Also, try not to rot out your teeth.
We might abolish it by then.
Yeah, it's probably going to be gone.
I'll tell her the dentist says she can't have it.
Blame
it on the dentist.
Oh, yeah.
I do have a friend in Bay Village who is a dentist. He can stop by the house. It's not far from where you live.
No, get a house call. There you go.